Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love, and today I've got on Sonia Barrett, who's the author of The Holographic Canvas, and we're going to be talking about the book. I gave a little preview of the book with some website links on the BBS Radio webpage, if you've had a chance to look at that, or perhaps can pull it up in another window. There's links there and some information about Sonia. I wanted to go into her book today. Sonia is also the publisher of a magazine called New Corporate Body, and she's the host of Sovereign Mind Radio Program. Are you there, Sonia?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. I'm looking forward to this. This book is one of my favorite subjects, the whole understanding of the bioenergetics of the universe and our role in it and how we shape our reality, and our reality then shapes us. And I wanted to go into at the beginning of our talk, if I could, I wanted to mention some things that you have on the cover of your book that kind of keynotes into the intriguing aspects of the holographic canvas. And you reference how there's many possibilities regarding the nature of reality, and you go into some very interesting questions. One is that is Earth as we know it but a matrix or system of programs, and is death then a necessary process, or is it simply part of the matrix program? Is it then possible that the concept of dying will cease to exist once humanity uncovers the deception? Another idea is proposed that human bodies are vehicles not yet turned on, but designed to make molecular modifications according to the vibration of our consciousness. And these are questions I want to go into, and your orientation of the holographic canvas as it explores our existence in a holographic world, a virtual game, an assortment of illusions strung together by the brain and the mind, and how it's an exploration of the illusion of a solid world generated by fluid movements against a canvas of energy, all of which is taking place against the backdrop of the void. Sonia concludes that the answers are all tied into the forgotten past, and like the single cell of a plant, our history is encoded in our cells, our DNA, in the air we breathe. And the holographic canvas serves as a reminder of a once sovereign humanity and the potential to return to a consciousness beyond the matrix of illusions. And that's saying a lot. And I mean, we could talk the next 50 minutes.
You were reading it, and I was thinking, wow, that does sound like a lot.
When I'm hot, I can read it like it's coming out for the first time. Ideally.
Oh my gosh!
And you know, it fascinates me that you're the host of Sovereign Mind Radio Program, because this whole issue of sovereignty, you know, owning our own life, you know, our consciousness, being world, our, you know, and just owning one's own life anymore is getting to be a huge issue. I mean, it was huge drama this last week. I mean, there was a tremor in the force. Did you watch the debate last night?
Actually, I missed it because I was in Los Angeles traffic.
Oh my gosh! Yes. Well, it's just as well. It was probably less neurotic in traffic than it was watching that show.
Yeah, either way, I was in another aspect of the matrix.
Another aspect of the matrix. Well, this all fascinates me, and the big drama going on right now in the world. I mean, and the tremor in the force is what I refer it to, and what's going on to this, what's happening to the matrix of reality. I mean, collectively, individually, and how we sustain wholeness. You know, to me, in the midst of all this neurosis. in peril, this energy of imperil. Mm-hmm. How do you maintain centered and connected? I mean, what do you do?
Well, I think first and foremost, what I have to say is I think that we're in a time right now that is giving people an opportunity, or if I have to use the word force, I think I will do that. It's pretty much forcing you, the individual, to really go within, to really find some other source of balance and direction, and going into that space of knowingness, that you're going to be directed, you're going to be guided, and it is. It's really tuning into that intuitive side of yourself. So it's the more expansive side of yourself, outside of the third dimensional you that operates within the matrix itself. And you call, you know, when you said a drama, it's absolutely what it is. I you know, I look on at all of it, and I was saying to a friend who really gets this, I said, you know what? You need to stock up on popcorn. It's going to be a long show.
Yeah. Stock up on popcorn. As a matter of fact, this is the first show that I put up a link at the bottom of the website on stocking up on food reserves. believe
they're going to need it because it's going to be a long show. You just don't want to get lost in the show. That's the trick.
Yeah, you
want to
get lost in the show.
No, in the fear and all that that's going to come from it. That's why it is going to be really important for people to really get that piece and really start discovering more about who they are in connection with the greater picture. Otherwise, you're gonna confine yourself to being the human being that you are here in this reality, and that will not do it for you.
I call it getting real congruent with the power of love,
mm-hmm.
God force, whatever, you know.
Right.
And how you frame that is always, you know, that's where it gets really tricky in the third dimension. You know, how you reference fourth and fifth dimension. it's an abstract, as a general rule, and that's one thing. Of course, I've been playing around with a lot. And the website, the Cosmic Love website today, mm-hmm. kind of played with that understanding of the frames of reference, a worldview that we create, and then how that shapes us. It becomes our filters.
Mm-hmm.
And how to be centered and connected between the lines of what I refer to these frames of reference, between the lines of the geometrically ordered divinity, or G-O-D.
Mm-hmm.
as a function of the processes of consciousness itself. I mean, mm-hmm. there are certain processes that are universal, archetypal, and how to basically become conscious of how we're conscious. Otherwise, we're just conscious. We're not fully conscious, we're just... an animal's conscious. The rocks are conscious.
Right. We're not comatose in one sense.
Right, we're not stoned.
Yeah, but in a way, we are. You know, it's that duality with it, you know, conscious but not really conscious. You know, so there's just so many different levels of what conscious, being conscious is. I absolutely, that is, right now, of course, yes, we are in a turning point. And so it doesn't matter what is going on, all of it, yes, it is fitting into the greater picture of transition. And, you know, and it's the way creation operates in the sense of chaos. Anyway, out of chaos comes some sort of order. So despite what we see before us, yes, it is essential. At the same time, there's a lot of self-serving processes going on for those who are who have nominated themselves the elite group.
The Main Street's got to bail out Wall Street.
Absolutely, and you know, and that's the thing, and it's always been like that. It's the pyramid effect. You know, the little guys are at the bottom supporting this whole thing.
Yeah.
And that's where people have to come into their own power, though. We have to recognize that. We have to understand that the reason why all of this will have a huge impact on people's minds is, one, You're dealing with all your matrix things, okay? All of your stuff is really what ends up causing the stress factor. You got your mortgage, your car note. And if we break it down, and I think it's really essential that we break it down to what are the things that really tie us into the point where when we hear this information, we are really stressing because we don't know how it's going to affect, really more than anything else, our stuff, holding on to our stuff. And I'm not saying that people shouldn't have what they have, but I think that we have to put it in perspective in order to be the a much larger force or consciousness then that can hold everything in balance without being owned by the process itself, because that is what is happening. People are getting owned by the process, and that's where you get fearful and you get trapped. But you've got to be able to stand back, recognize it on a much deeper level that we are in a huge game, multi-level game, and this is just one aspect of the game. It is about change at this time, but it's also about the individual making that choice to reawaken to a greater aspect of who you are and your potentials in the journey.
Well, I was been trying to boil it down this last week, you know, make the complex simple. Everyone's trying to get a fix on all this, and I found this really great quote by James Madison, you know, the architect of the Constitution and fourth president of the United States, where he said, you know, the boiling it down to this whole thing of property and ownership and control, which is 90% of the law.
Right.
And he said, conscience is the most sacred of all property.
That's a good one.
I was thinking about that. So how do we somehow involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness of how we're conscious, you know, with a conscience?
Well, that's the thing about this matrix, though. The way this system, reality as we view it anyway, the way it has been structured, your conscience is tied into what I like to refer to as the survival program.
Right.
And
Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Exactly. So it's really, there is no way to get around this other than someone deciding that I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take a look in the box. I'm going to go ahead and, you know, I'm going to see what this is all made of and how I fit into the bigger picture of this. I'm going to go ahead and do that, and when I do that, I run the risk of having to be completely responsible for myself and my journey. As it is right now, again, the fear factor with all of this is because we are not, as individuals or collectively, responsible for ourselves. The system in place has projected or has created, and it's because it's been allowed, obviously, they have nominated themselves the controllers and the rulers and
masters,
the regulators.
Masters of the universe.
Masters of the universe. He-Man.
You know, I've been playing with this last week, and the whole thing of where they're coming from, the love of power, the money power, and the fear matrix that sustains that, and how it's been sustaining it long before 9/11, but that was the classic example.
Right.
And how to sustain, you know, the war profiteering, you know, with the fear, you know, the Reichstag fire. I've been thinking about that and how there's the fear matrix and then there's, you might say, the faith matrix, because the opposite of fear is love, you might say. The faith in love, love as faith. You know, and you can boil it down to the love of power and the power of law, or the power of love. There's these two matrix, you know, the intersects.
Right.
And as Jung said, one is the mirror of the other. One is the shadow of the other.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got, you know,
it's the duality and then trying to find balance and all of that, trying to find a center.
That's right. And it's well, I liked There's duality, which is like divide and conquer, and
mm-hmm.
there's polarity, which is two in one.
Right.
And so the oneness within the two rather than the division of the one.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been playing with this understanding, you know, to make it simple. Like, of course, it's paradoxical, of course.
The greatest
mysteries are veiled in paradox. But there's this currency of conscience, and then there's the currency of corruption of conscience.
Mm-hmm. I know.
You can find a
matrix for, you know, you name it. You can pull one out and stick it in there somewhere in one. If it's not the pair matrix, it's something else. But yes, they end up being split between the two, like you said, the duality, matrix.
I've been looking at this, you know, for some time. There's actually one link I've got on the homepage. You might look at it where it references the currency of conscience.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually kind of goes through a history of innovation that impacted the collective consciousness of humanity
mm-hmm.
as a function of the currency of conscience that evolves to a certain point, makes a leap, and then that becomes the standard.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that in technology. You can mm-hmm. see that in language and languaging, including computer languages, you know.
Right.
And there's this currency that reaches a critical mass, becomes a standard, and then, you know, the whole currency evolves. And there's this evolutionary patterning that's accelerating. The rate of change with the instant everywhere interactive internet, everything is now combining so much faster
mm-hmm.
where there's no time or space.
Right.
And new inventions synergize with other inventions to create new inventions, you know, so much faster. And
mm-hmm.
it's to watch the debate last night was so painful in a neurotic sense, because both candidates are I'm trying to put this holographic matrix in a temporary example. Both candidates are you know, they're trying to outdo each other on how they're going to take the war, you know, to a better, greater level, either in Afghanistan or Iraq, you know. And then they're going into the oil thing, and I'm going to do oil here, or I'm going to do oil there. Never mentioning that they've got free energy technologies, you know, that cars are running on water in Japan, you know.
Well, no, they can't mention any of that, because then they wouldn't be able to play the game.
Yeah.
You know?
The virtual reality game, but the thing is, it's all the game right now is because of the internet. People all over the United States are listening to this. They know about this technology of, you know, one inventor was on Fox TV, a local station. They didn't run on the national news. His little car was going 120 miles on 4 ounces of water. You know? And they're talking about, you know, the whole thing of we got to do oil offshore.
I know. It's crazy. It's because there is no need for any of what we're dealing with in terms of this whole fuel crisis.
There's no need. And you can do the same thing with healthcare. You know, innovations
that
got with electromedicine. And, I mean, I worked with a guy that pioneered electrodiagnostics 20 years ago, and this guy, I remember, he's got this system that he gives seminars offshore in these cruise ships in international waters because they chased him out of the United States. He was one step ahead of
them. I hate when that happens.
Oh, yeah. But he's over in Yugoslavia with programs. He's got the most sophisticated medical software on a laptop in the world. That it not only, you know, does your full bioenergetic screening with like 120 protocols of holistic diagnostics.
Right.
You know?
Oh my God!
But the bioenergetic frequencies that basically do what like homeopathically.
Right.
And you can even use the machine remotely to work with
people.
Wow.
Talk about powerful.
No time or space, you know.
Wow.
I remember this guy I was working with him 20 years ago. He had, you know, that was when, you know, the 386 computers back then, or 50, yeah. Yeah, it was before that. He was back in Ohio, and I had a holistic health center back then, and I was having him in.
Mm-hmm.
But it was amazing. He was saying, I could, you know, he was a NASA scientist that had, you know, got into a lot of this stuff and just went so far past it that he just went out on his own. And he was talking about back then doing a little handheld tricorder, you know, like they've got on Star Trek.
That
was in the body energetics.
Wow. Yeah.
And basically, he's got that now. And he went beyond the laptop version to these little tiny units that do the, like the tricorder. And it's like, he you know, it's illegal in the United States to heal with energy or light or music.
He is so many steps ahead in terms of technology. But that's just it, though.
Yeah.
All of these things, if the general public had access to, such advanced levels of technology, it would take away, there's a lot of control that would go out the door. And the whole thing boils down to, they've got to regulate it. We've got to regulate free energy. Let's not even speak of it. Well, let's speak of free energy, but we're still going to regulate it and tell you what we can and cannot do. So no matter which way it goes, it's about control, for them. And wanting to be in charge of technology, but the manner in which technology is moving into advancement, and there are some phenomenal things, some of the things you just mentioned, that we will be able to do, that's going to be of great assistance to, you know, the human race. But on the flip side of it, it's also a dumbing down process at the same time, because we have the ability, as you well know, to activate or to utilize more of the brain, and let me even rephrase that.
It's true. It's true. All these, what we used to call extrasensory perception, but they're now calling effective.
They're all natural.
They're all natural
process.
Yeah.
But these things, the way that our technology is being introduced to us, where, you know, we're going to have robots watching, you know, babysitting, and this is not far-fetched. This is, you know, already planned. These are things that are going to happen.
It's like the baby monitors in the bedroom. It's
right.
Like a little robot ear.
But a step further. So you have to do less tuning in. And if we recognize, you know, before we step into participating in certain aspects of technology, I think people really need to step back and look at, okay, how much is this diminishing my ability? Because now I'm going to rely on something external.
Yeah.
We have to activate our inner technology.
Well, I think a lot of the outer is a metaphor for the inner.
Absolutely, it is.
And it's like the internet, the phenomena of eliminating all time or space with the instant everywhere interactive internet. It's just
everywhere,
like,
now.
Pardon?
I say everywhere now.
Eternal
now with the internet.
The infinite and the eternal here and now. And it's really going cosmic fast. It's just and I think it all boils down, all problems are communication problems, how we come into unity. And there's a unified field out there now that's manifesting, you know, at our fingertips.
Right.
And the interface, of course, for that, in one sense, is the fingertips. Another sense, it's the brain, which is running the fingertips.
Absolutely.
But then the interface, and this, I think, is the next evolution of the computer internet revolution, will be an interactive interface, which is the language of consciousness itself that somehow frames on a real-time basis the instant everywhere interactive evaluation criteria, whereby a thousand or a million people can respond at the same moment at the same time without creating noise. In other words, create a real-time unified field pattern with pattern recognition of the collective consciousness, you know, in a, you might say, a cube, a three-dimensional axis on your screen, lower right hand of your screen. And that three-dimensional, dots in a cube would be like on these three grids. It's almost like taking 3D reality and then creating a frame of reference in the cube that references the fourth and fifth dimension, and how that works with the language of consciousness itself, the language of brightness scale, like the vertical dimension, the color spectrum, which is like the horizontal, axis, like the color spectrum, like you know, the whole
color, spectrum, light, and sound spectrum,
or intellect and emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Like the more intellectual you get, like Spock, or the more emotional you get, like Scotty,
mm-hmm.
you're more out of balance. But in the middle of the color spectrum's Captain Kirk. You know, it's like left brain, right brain. There, the more left brain you get, the more you come out of your right brain, and vice versa.
Right.
And the understanding of the balance of left, right, it's like the best of both worlds, the linear consciousness, the spherical, nonlinear consciousness, and the gifts. And well, that language of consciousness itself is a function of the brightness scale, you know, like the upper brain and the lower brain. You know, there's an analogy there. And then there's the, but I'm talking about, you know, a conscious representation of this. And, of course, I've been working with this for 15 years, and I realized that this is where it's going.
So right.
We, you know, to people become conscious of how they're conscious in terms of the language of consciousness, that they can interact on a real-time basis with 1,000 or 1,000,000 people in a social network simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole revolution with social networks is like electronic town hall meetings. I mean, it's like we're seeing globally now what they're going through with the, you know, the revolution in, you know, the United States here 230 years ago or whatever.
Right.
And so there's like a revolution now in global consciousness that's, I call it matriculating the matrix.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, there's, as you said, I mean, there's networks going up all over the place. I mean, people are definitely in a web. I mean, they're part of the worldwide web, and it seems to the web seems to be getting larger and larger in terms of allowing that
networks within networks.
Right, absolutely.
It's an amazing thing. So there's this outer inner dance that's going on, and I reference that as there's this inner sense that's being outpictured with the inner sense is being outpictured. With sometimes innocence, and you know, it's like the currency of conscience. It's either going to be outpictured, the inner sense with innocence, or the currency of corruption, you know, guilty as hell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a really it's why I loved reading your book. There was all these different references you have to this dynamic going on and the quantum physics of it and the understanding of how this one guy, Gerald O'Donnell, the remote viewing guy.
Right.
And what he was saying about your book, about, you know, the realms of the quantum self and the grand scheme of possible realities, you have a way of opening up, you might say, the Pandora's box of understanding. Because once people get out of the box of the limited matrix of, I call it the mechanization concept, where they've been robotized and habitualized to the same old, same old.
Mm-hmm.
When they start to get out of the box, it's like a Pandora's box, because it opens up so much that is the judgment on the old. And
it's a responsibility.
Responsibility and the testing of the new.
It is, because, you know, I talk to so many people that, you know, have read the book, and it is amazing to hear just the responses. And simply, you know, the book basically, for a lot of people, gives them the okay to go ahead and feel what they were feeling and feel okay about it.
Yeah.
You know, quietly they were wondering about this, but here it is. Somebody has gone ahead and said, yes, I was thinking the same thing. Here is what I assessed with it. And so there's this freedom. There's that sense of freedom. But freedom is such a tricky thing, too. I mean, that's a word that's very tricky, because, you know, there's a, you know, what does freedom mean to the individual? Now, somebody else, you know, can say that they're absolutely free, and we might look at their life and go, oh, no, you're not. You know, so it's all relative.
It's all through the filters of the perceiver.
Absolutely. So, you know, so the kind of freedom that I do speak of in the book, it is a sense of really peeling away, or recognizing then that most of what you've lived in your life has been based on programs that, you know, have been passed down.
It's an illusion.
Absolutely.
A self-created, self-fulfilling prophecy, illusion, delusion.
It's all of it, but it's still your game. You know, that's the interesting part. It's still your game,
yeah.
But you forgot.
Yeah,
you handed over control of your existence or your life to somebody else, but even that you gave full authorization for it. Now you've got to wake up and remember that that's what you did and that you're really in a game, in an illusion, in a limited one. And you know, there are people who just are not ready to do that. People will say, yes, I'm ready for a level of freedom, a deeper level of freedom. But freedom, the deeper it gets, it requires a huge amount of one being completely responsible for themselves, and that is sovereignty. That is becoming sovereign, and we're talking not just on a physical level, the physical body, spiritually, in terms of, you know, how you define spirituality. Everything is that energy force, is spirit.
Well, you're getting into the infrastructure of being, so the deeper you go, you make a change, and it just affects everything.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a domino effect.
It's a domino effect.
Yeah.
And I really, you know, appreciate several takes you had on in the book as I was reading it. One in particular was the nursery rhyme. You know, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream, merrily, 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 merrily. Life is but a dream, and that. Because when I read that, I flashed on, my dad used to sing Barbershop Quartet,
mm-hmm.
and he did that in three-part harmony with these guys, and they were...
Yeah, I bet that was great.
It was great.
Uh-huh.
You know, my dad was clue.
He had no
so many levels of, you know, when I think about that, of how we can can sing the song,
uh-huh.
you know, we can sing the song and not get it very...
Oh, yeah. We do it. Look at all that we do, though. Look at all that we do in terms of what we create for ourselves in terms of our lives. And to say to some people who really are not in a space of really deeply questioning that you've created, you know, the life, that the reality that you're in right now. Oh, no. Why would I create something like this? So, hence, row, row, row your boat, you know, gently down the stream. We're singing it. I remember I loved that song as a child.
Yeah, me too.
But I used to say, row, row, row your boat gently down the street.
Down the street.
I thought that those were the words, that down the street.
Well,
but it merrily, 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 life is but a dream. And when it hit me, it was just wow.
Life is but a dream. It's
the
grand illusion, and I've thought so much about that myself over the years, because I always had it in my head, you know, from a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then the responsibility and what sovereignty is, you know, owning your own life, your learning, your spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically, your four lower bodies. And I've tried to, you know, make sense myself out of the grand illusion, you know, the order of the universe, what is the underlying infrastructure, you know, you might say the core first principles, the prime directive, the moral compass whereby we guide the rowboat.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true, because there's a few times there where I remember going down a different kind of stream, and then I remembered, oh, didn't really like how that felt. Don't want to go take that canal again. I'm going to go over here. So that's the learning process, and we're, you know, we're simply allowing creation, and of course we can never put creation in a box, but the whole concept of existence, we're simply allowing existence to be any potential, any possibility that it can be. We're simply allowing that to occur, and of course there is that point where you know, the individual decides, you know, at some point it becomes a very conscious decision that I think I have learned and done as much as I want to do in this limited aspect of the experience. I'm ready to step it up a notch.
Yeah.
And that's really what the holographic canvas is about. It's going, okay, I'm ready to step it up a notch.
That's reading it actually for me, it was like, it was a catharsis of so many things I've read about, you know, quantum reality, the quantum universe, you know, the holographic universe. And there's a lot of first principles in there. It's, in many regards, it's like a guidebook. It's like an introduction to these first principles. And the way it does it metaphorically, so you know people can basically get the picture. And as I tuned into that, I couldn't help but think of these different things would pop up. These things like I tell my kids when they're growing up that we get what we ask for, whether we know it or like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And they never really used to appreciate that. They're adults now, but I still use that expression. And they more recently said, "Well, I'm beginning to understand what you were talking about." There's these, and of course, the unconscious, the subconscious, there's a superconscious and the conscious. You know, the four lower bodies,
right?
And how that relates to the spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical, instinctive levels of consciousness, and all these different levels. And the filters at each level that we create and how we program our DNA and how then our DNA shapes us for the next 7 years until it
Absolutely.
Reboots.
Absolutely, yeah.
And reading your book is just keying into this. It's a really good refresher course for those who've been into this because the way you've synergized a lot of these different components to the capstone, I call it, the vision. And there's the vision thing is, and this is one of my favorites, there's nothing more valuable than a vision that's found its time. And right now, that with the accelerating change, the quintessence of vision needed is a core understanding of the dynamics of the holographic canvas that we're painting in with our individual and collective realities.
Mm-hmm.
So I love the metaphors that you have in the book. It's just, I think for anyone that really wants to remind themselves of the dynamic of their own consciousness, how it's their world, and how they can, through becoming more conscious of how they're, and processing, I refer to it as becoming conscious of how you are conscious, the processes of consciousness. And that the only way you can do that is exquisite metaphor. I mean, Jesus used parables, but those were metaphors.
Right.
And your book is really very illuminating in that regard. I mean, it's very enlightening.
I know that some of the, I'm not sure exactly how if you were able to go through the entire book, but I must say that, yes, I do raise certain questions there, which is not always discussed, and that it has to do with immortality and the human body and that kind of transition. Typically, the way that's written about usually is a little bit different. And so what I am wanting to remind people of is the possibility, is just to wrap your head around that possibility that the body perhaps has can transition out of this this reality or this concept of reality energetically by shifting molecularly into the next space or level or dimension or reality, according to the level of your consciousness. So it's not that your body is dying; it simply shifts.
I
that's something that very seldom is talked about, because typically what we understand is simply going through the process and departing here. But what I'm saying is, I'm reminding you of some changes that took place in your DNA and the dumbing down of your memory and reactivating that, and understanding that your body is unactivated. It's a vehicle. Yeah. And it's unactivated, but it's all based on a shift in the vibration of one's consciousness.
Actually, that's why I began the program with that quote, because I wanted to go into this. There's this thing of, is death a necessary process? And of course, I wanted to go into this whole thing of, I mean, there's a lot of what I call the living dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read different books about this, the percentages of people that are just mechanized, robotized, they're conscious.
Oh, that's most of the planet.
Yeah, but there's a lot of animals that are conscious.
Right.
And this thing of there was a thing in the mainstream media here. I think it was this last week. I was reading it about they're now discovering how consciousness impacts DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an article about this, and it's changing our DNA as a function, of course, and this has been around for a while, but it was, you know, a mainstream.
It always amazes me when they come out with, you know, things, and it's something you've already known. It sounds so simple to you. It's like fruits and vegetables are good for you. When I hear that on the news, I'm like, what a novel idea. You know, it comes from the earth. If it's not processed or genetically modified, it would only make sense that your body would resonate with that. Well, it's like a newsflash. They would bring it on as a newsflash.
As a newsflash. Oh, I was thinking that, well, okay, so now that they've admitted this, what are they going to do about mainstream TV? You know, oh boy, are they going to clean up their act, or are they going to bury this report?
I'm going to probably bury it. Most people won't see it. And even if they do, it'll just go right over their heads because people are so zoned out from all the rituals, ritual of programs in the way we live our life. Anyway, the social programs conditioned by those. So they don't hear that and don't see that. So, yes, there's only a few people, and it's okay. As I always say, everybody doesn't have to snap out of it at once. Everybody's choice in being here is completely different, and some will, you know, transcend into a more expansive consciousness, and the others will do it even if it's 10 trillion years from now. So there's no lost time, per se, for anyone. We are doing what we are doing according to, you know, what is necessary for us at this point.
Well, I really believe a lot of people have come in with soul contracts to do certain things.
Mm.
And a lot of them have forgot what that is.
Right.
You know, they haven't got a real core sense of that. And there's a lot of people there's a lot of us that are waking up to there's so much more, and then the matrix of, you know, the past, you know, sense of separation and limitation. Is like a wall that we keep hitting, and there's this, but there's this the awakening that's going up, and there's this challenge of the habitualized, you know, same old, and yet there's and I think everyone gets these bursts of, you know, like when they're hot, they're hot; when they're not,
right?
I think there is an accelerated, the veil is thinning, and I really believe that our energy is coming in, and our DNA is shifting.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a great purification going on. I think this is a healthy process.
Absolutely.
With what's going on with the elections, because the dysfunction is right in front of our eyes.
Oh, yeah, you can't miss it.
You can't miss it.
You know, you can't,
and it's
you
like
can't miss it.
There's something seriously wrong with this picture.
Absolutely. It's like a what are those, one of those giant, those big screen, and no matter which angle you go to, you're going to see it anyway. You can't. There's nothing you can do about it. It's there. Now, it just depends on, you know, how you choose to perceive it, because it's amazing how the human mind works.
Yeah.
You know, we can take things for the whole idea of survival. We will translate a situation that's very in front of your face into something that's workable for us, and totally miss the boat completely on it. But that's a survival mechanism. That person might not be ready to snap out of it completely.
And,
you know,
and,
it's a protective mechanism.
And part of that survival mechanism, which will do anything for self-preservation of itself.
Absolutely. That's the survival program. That
and
you know.
That's exactly what we're seeing with Wall Street and Washington right now. They're going to do anything for preservation of of their moneyed power and their love of power.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what Main Street is really wakening up to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a very interesting dynamic.
It's an interesting dance, and as I've been saying, you know, we think about the people that are out here in the mainstream that are stressed. No, nobody is as stressed as the people who have millions of dollars. They are more stressed than the guy sleeping on the park bench because he's used to not having any.
Because they're attached to what they got.
You know, it's exactly. You know, you lose a million. You had 10, and then you lose a million. Boy, you know, that's stressful. So you see the stress factor in that aspect, that all the people who didn't have any money in the first place, they're figuring, well, you know, it can't get that much worse.
I was reading about this. Someone was on NPR was interviewing someone on the street in New York City and says, you know, these guys, they get, their whole life is getting more. And when they've got a million, they got to get two. And when ten, they got to get 15. And then when they lose it, they want to jump out a window.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because it's an emotional thing. It's a game. It's a game to them, and they don't want to lose. And for them, so where did I go wrong? The strategy, something was thrown off with their strategy. And when you're at that level of all of that, it is a monopoly game. And you don't want to lose. Not just the money. You don't want to lose.
And they got such a habit of not enough. No matter how much you've got. And the habit becomes their own judgment.
It's an addiction.
And it becomes an addiction.
It is an absolute addiction.
And I think what's happening right now is there's an inevitable checks and balances going on between Main Street and Wall Street right now. How this shakes out is going to be really interesting. Interesting times.
It's going to definitely be interesting as to, you know, which way the show goes, because it's a huge theatrical production.
Yeah.
That we're looking at, and the thing is, the people collectively have so much more power. You've got 8 people ruling everything in a mass of millions of people. Well, they've got to be some amazing game strategists to keep that many people, you know, emotionally suppressed or psychologically dumbed down and hypnotized, where 8 people can control everything in the manner in which all of this is played out.
Yeah, the orchestration going on right now on all levels. They call it among themselves full spectrum dominance.
Well, that's what it is.
And what it's interesting is autism. They call it full spectrum disorder. So there's kind of like a mass autism assault going on right now. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
And it's the numbing and the dumbing and the fear, matrix. And so I think half of coming out of that is just realizing for what it is.
And that's it.
And then it's like I always tell my kids, you know, we go to where we're coming from,
mm-hmm.
and you never die. You never die.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in other words, you just go to where you're coming from in another dimension.
Absolutely. There is no such thing.
And there's a lot of people in this world that are going to prison planets.
Oh, yeah.
Just because they've created a prison now and there's no escaping it. Their time is short and their fear is great and they're stuck in a bad place, and that's where they go to.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on around the planet, I mean, outside of the planet, and it's all impacting on here. Then, of course, then there's the bigger picture, the bigger cosmic picture. Transformation, of transition. It's cosmic graduation. I mean, that's...
It's cosmic,
you know,
graduation. Well, that's a good note to finish up on here the last couple minutes. I was going to say that we all want to keep dancing like no one is watching, and keep loving like we've never been hurt.
Right.
And Sonia, I'm so grateful for your show at this time in cosmic history.
Thank you.
It was a good show. And I'm looking forward to having you on again. I'd love to do this again.
Yes, thank you.
How does your Sovereign radio program work?
How does it work?
I mean, how often do you do that?
It's once a week. It's Wednesdays at 9 a.m.
Okay, well, we're going to finish on that note. There's a link to her website, to her Sovereign Radio program. I gave that link on the top of the Cosmic Love webpage. So this is a wrap. God bless you all. We'll see you in a couple weeks. Bye-bye, Sonia.
All right, take care.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There is a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the Internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule, law, language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the Internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the Internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the Love Model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, and always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The Internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where lightworkers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.